Today we have come to the end of the series of messages taken from 1 Peter chapters 1 and 2. The main text may be found in verses 4 and 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And as we recall the lessons learned, the messages heard from 1 Peter chapters 1 and 2, we begin to realize how complex, how well defined and developed by God this whole plan is. The whole concept of being a living stone, all made alive, made possible because of the salvation that God made available to all who believe. I just want to thank you also for your faithfulness in taking the time to follow through this, the study of these two very, very challenging chapters written by the Apostle Peter. And as we take a look at this doctrine of how we are made living stones, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as the living stone, a precious cornerstone, we cannot but think about the involvement of all three persons in the Godhead. First, we think of how God is described as Father. This is how the Apostle Peter understood him. Here is a God whom we may call Father. And this is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 and verse 17. Two things stand out about God as Father. His foreknowledge, 1 Peter 1, 2, and his foreordination, 1 Peter 1, 20. That does not mean that that's all the Father did, but we know, thankfully, that he was certainly involved in the whole plan of our salvation and of this concept we call the building of a spiritual house as living stones attached to the living stone, the chief cornerstone. Then, of course, there is the place of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his role must be very carefully understood and appreciated. Through his blood, we are cleansed. We are sprinkled, and we are sanctified. We thank God for his role. The resurrection of Jesus, which we celebrated at Easter, reminds us of that vital role of his life, of his suffering, of his death, and also his resurrection. Last Sunday, we considered very much the significance of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is another way of describing his second coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is beautifully described as a living stone, 1 Peter 2:4, a chief cornerstone in verses 6 and 7 of the second chapter of 1 Peter. Today we are going to study the role of the Holy Spirit. And as we speak about the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, we must not miss out on the vital role of the Holy Spirit of God. He is described wonderfully. His roles are also to be greatly appreciated. Let's consider today the name titles of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter 1:2, he is simply called the Spirit. And so Peter wrote and he said that we are not only sprinkled by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is also in sanctification of the Spirit. There is a vital role of the Spirit of God mentioned right here. He sanctifies us. He anoints us. He sets us apart. He makes us holy. That is the meaning of the word sanctification. In 1 Peter 1:22, we are urged to consider how we have purified our souls in obedience to the truth. How do we obey God in the Word of God? How do we obey the truth that we hear? Peter reminds us that the Spirit of God is involved. It is He who enables us to seek the purification of the soul. It is He who effectively helps our soul to become purer as we respond in obedience to the word of truth. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we are told that the Spirit makes us alive. So although the term the Spirit may not seem to be very, very spectacular, nevertheless, the roles that He played are outstanding and not to be taken lightly. Another name title of the Holy Spirit is simply called the Spirit of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 11, Peter noted the role of the Old Testament prophets. In the Old Testament prophets, we read about how the Spirit of God would come upon them, anoint them, empower them, reveal things to them, and in the power of the Spirit of God, they would proclaim, they would preach, they would teach people about prophecies that would be fulfilled one day. Peter calls this Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ. Why is that so? Well, firstly, He is the Holy Spirit. But His role, His identification is with God, so He is called the Spirit of God. His identification is also further with the Lord Jesus Christ. So correctly, He bears characteristics of God the Father. He bears characteristics of Jesus Christ the Son. Because He is deity, because He is God, He may indeed be called the Spirit of Christ. The third name title that we want to take note of is the term the Holy Spirit. And this is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. And He is called the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And this is a wonderful thought, that the Spirit of God is distinguished from the human spirit. He's not just something we try and give a title to. He's not just an inspired spirit, one who brings inspiration. He is the third person of the Godhead, and He is the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And we rejoice particularly in the fact that all three persons play different roles, but they are vital to help us to become living stones formed together to form that spiritual house that God had designed, that God had desired, and God had planned. The fourth name title of the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Glory. This is found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14, where Peter encouraged the people that though they may suffer for the sake of their faith, if they are able to suffer well, they may think of this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, or just simply the Spirit, here called the Spirit of Glory. That Spirit of glory and of God will actually rest upon all who are suffering for the sake of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the significance, we might ask, of the use of these name titles? And three things may be considered. One, the person of the Holy Spirit is identified. While a human being may have a spirit too, a strong spirit, the limitations of a human spirit are obvious. But when we have the Holy Spirit described in this way, as the Spirit of glory and of God, as the Spirit of Christ, as a Spirit who is sent from heaven, we begin to understand and appreciate that He is clearly and wonderfully identified as distinctive from the Father and of the Son. He has His own special identity, and that identity is to be appreciated. The name titles also help us to understand the work that He plays, the work that He does. And the role that He plays is one of illumination. He actually illuminates. He certainly has to illuminate Peter. Otherwise, he would not be able to understand these deep truths that he has written in 1 Peter, in the epistle of 1 Peter. And it is astonishing when we understand the humble background that he came from. Here is a humble fisherman who all his life had been a fisherman, now able to become an outstanding apostle and able to write such deep truths. That is to be attributed to the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. And that work of illumination is a work that He must continue to do in our lives in order to understand our faith and the Scriptures better. The significance, the third one, is one of inspiration. If we understand the role of the Spirit of God in our life, we will find inspiration to live a life far stronger, far better than we presently are living. And so here we face certain common problems. One common problem is that though we may read about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, we may read about the promises that the Lord Jesus gave to the disciples, about the role of the Holy Spirit coming to them, empowering them, the reality is that all the knowledge we have seems to have made very little practical impact on our life. And so it may be because we don't really understand His ministry. And His mighty influence has not impacted us the way it should. And so sometimes we end up with a problem which we may say is a false understanding. A false understanding because we use the name of the Spirit of God in a rather loose, wrong, or vague way. Sometimes the human spirit is mistaken for the Holy Spirit. And as a result, much confusion exists. And so we cannot understand fully why we are not as strong as we should be, given what we have read about the Spirit of God. And so we must attempt to understand the fact that the Spirit of God plays actually what we may call a manifold ministry. So let's examine a little bit more closely, a little bit more carefully, that work described by Peter as the sanctification of the Spirit. What does it mean to be sanctified? In the early Old Testament days, a vessel is a vessel. It is nothing more than that. But once it is consecrated, once it is sanctified, it becomes a holy vessel. And that is the work of the Spirit of God. We may start off in a very ordinary sense of the word. We could be the average Christian. But when we understand the sanctification of the Spirit of God in our life, We are not meant to be the same anymore. We were meant to be holy. And the work of the Spirit of God is to keep us holy. It is actually a continuing work. It is a vital work that He must continue to do in our lives. On our own, no matter how much we may attempt, how much effort we put in, we cannot do this work of sanctification effectively. We need the Spirit of God to sanctify us. Think about it. Here we are every day, we say we want to live for the Lord. And yet, miserably, we falter and we fail. Perhaps we have not considered the real work of the Spirit of God in our life. Let's give it some thought. He must sanctify us. Our consciously, therefore, our mind, our heart, our soul must understand His work. He will anoint us. He will come upon us. And He will teach us that we are holy to God. And we are consecrated for a holy purpose. As living stones, we understand each stone becomes holy. Each stone fits in the proper place it was meant to be placed in. And every stone, being holy, being sanctified, will build that spiritual house that God wants us to become. So every priest, he starts off with it as an ordinary human being. And then he becomes sanctified. And he is now declared a holy priest in God's sight. He is now ready to fulfill his role, to offer acceptable sacrifice to God. That work is actually the work of the Spirit of God when He sanctifies us. Now, here is a work that we must very carefully consider. In 1 Peter 1:11, He is called the Spirit of Christ who was in the holy prophets of old. What was their work? And as we read the book of Zechariah presently, we begin to realize that the prophet Zechariah actually had to have a lot of help from a teaching angel. Through all the visions given to him, Zechariah would not have understood a word. Any vision, a teaching angel had to be given to him to coach him, a tutorial, as it were. But consider this work. The Spirit of Christ that was in them tells us that there is a deeper work that is done by the Holy Spirit. And His work is to reveal. This is why we talk about revelation or illumination. See, ordinarily, we can read the scriptures. Maybe we can, if we have a little bit of knowledge of Greek, we may be even to do some translation work. But ultimately, the work of true illumination, understanding, and enlightenment is not a work that we can do because we refer to the lexicon, before, because we look at commentaries, because we try and figure it out. There is a special work of the Holy Spirit that must be appreciated. He illuminates, He enlightens. And without this vital work of the Holy Spirit in our life, we can read, but we will never be able to fully comprehend. We may try and understand, and our understanding will be fairly limited. But when the Spirit of God opens our understanding, then the Word of God is revealed in the most wonderful sense of word. And we understand things spiritual. We understand things that will bring light to our heart, to our soul. And this is the work that the Holy Spirit must do. And He did that in the lives of the prophets. He did that in the life of the apostles. And He continues to do the same thing in our lives today. And that work is a work of enlightenment. And then, of course, we read in 1 Peter 1:12, about those who preach the gospel. And the word is those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we take for granted that the work of preaching and teaching is a matter of our preparing well, looking at our notes, and then saying what we want to say, and we are done for the day. That is not true. The reality of it all is that the Spirit of God is the one who really empowers people significantly. I think this is something that we want to understand and appreciate. The work of the preaching of the gospel is the work that is actually empowered by none other than the Holy Spirit. So when we have people proclaiming the gospel and people respond to the gospel, how did that happen? It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now that's amazing. In America, there was a famous evangelist called D.L. Moody. And Moody was a person who many people recognized as one who was unable to speak proper English. He did not have much education. But when D.L. Moody preaches the gospel in the way that he does, even though it may seem ungrammatical, the results are astonishing. Thousands of people would actually respond to the word, to the gospel that he preached. How is that possible? There we have a glimpse of the work of the Spirit of God who preaches the gospel through us. The work of evangelism, the work of teaching the word of God, this is the work of the Holy Spirit as well. And this is what I pray for very much. My part is to proclaim the word of God to you, to open up the word of God to you. But I recognize my severe limitations. The most important person who must open up your heart and your mind and your very spirit is actually the Holy Spirit himself. And he will empower us as we share the gospel, empower us as we teach the word of God. And hearts will then be touched and blessed. Here is another area of work of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter 2:22, it is a work called purifying. The purifying of the souls in obeying the truth. How does that work, actually? And this is amazing. I think if we were to recognize the state of our soul, we begin to accept and recognize that the soul is filled sometimes with a lot of impurities. We have wrong understanding. We have shallow understanding. We lack a faith. We lack a love. We lack a devotion. We lack many things in our life. And we long very much for our souls to really walk with the Lord. In Psalm 119, there is a declaration of blessing. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek God, who seek him with a whole heart. And we recognize that sometimes we do not seek the Lord with a whole heart. Sometimes we do not keep his testimonies well. Sometimes we do not walk undefiled in this world. How can we walk better? And the person who must do this is the Holy Spirit. And so as we read the Word of God, our hearts are challenged. We are moved within our heart. Should we not seek greater purification? And if the answer is yes, the Spirit of God helps us to continue to purify our hearts, so that we can obey the truth of God's word far better than we are able to on our own. Now here is yet another work of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, this is all manifold. This is what he will do. This is what he will continue to do, sometimes simultaneously, sometimes one at a time. But that work of the Spirit of God must be understood and appreciated. 1 Peter 3:18, we talk about, or we read about how the Spirit of God will make us come alive. And this is wonderful. 3:18 talks about the power behind the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who died at the cross of Calvary. It was the Spirit of God who brought about that resurrection. The power behind that resurrection of Jesus is that of the Holy Spirit. It is that same Holy Spirit who will make us come alive to God, make us come alive to the Lord Jesus Christ, make us come alive to the Word of God and to the work of God. That same Holy Spirit is the one who must operate in us. And then, of course, in 1 Peter 4:14, we have the Spirit of God abiding upon us or in us. Look at what Peter said in 4:14. Blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Imagine when we face tribulation and we are able to bear with the tribulation. How are we able to bear the tribulation? Because the Spirit of God is upon us. The Spirit of God indwells us. Peter calls him the Spirit of glory. Why is that? Because there will come a glory of God given to us. We will reflect the glory of God when we bear with tribulation well. The same Spirit of God will rest upon us. And this speaks about the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And His presence and His ministry will bring about a tremendously rich blessing upon us. And so as we try and consider the theme in a nutshell today, about how we come to a living stone describing the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we understand the plan of God, how He came to set the whole plan in motion by giving salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, by giving to us a living word that abides forever. He gives to us a living hope and He makes us living stones. That is a work of ministry that God calls us to consider. Let us be challenged to consider, to discern the ministry of the Spirit of God in our lives. He will make us living stones. We can be part of the spiritual house that God is building even right now. And that work has already been done for us with reference to salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ has done His part in giving His life for us. But the work of the Spirit continues. And so He opens our understanding so that we may discern His continuing ministry to make us a spiritual house of God. But on our part, we must also be challenged to desire that the Spirit of glory to rest upon us. We can understand the work of the Holy Spirit, at least conceptually. We can understand His work theologically. But the challenge is to desire that the Spirit of God will rest upon us. Meaning to say, He will be upon us currently, and He will be upon us continually, producing definite, concrete results. But the desire must be to be filled with the Spirit of God. As we come to the conclusion of this series of messages about living stones, can I ask that we devote our hearts to the Lord? Devote our hearts to understand that great plan of God for which the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life. It is to form a spiritual house, to form a holy priesthood, indeed a royal priesthood, And the Spirit of God is vitally involved in this work of God. But it requires devotion on our part. That work of the Spirit must be understood. And we must be devoted to that task. And what will He do for us? The work of the Spirit of God will be seen and verified in the way He produces fruit in our life. And this is something we can see very, very obviously. When we abide in Christ, when we abide in His Word, when we abide in His love, we will be able to produce much fruit. But the power behind it all is actually the power of the Spirit of God. But it requires devotion on our part. Devotion to what God has planned, what God has provided power for. Let us devote our hearts as people of God, as special people of God, set aside, sanctified, consecrated to the work of God. Let us at Bethany and all our churches overseas be that spiritual house for God, where the Spirit of God continues to move mightily, inspire, illuminate, and then truly empower us for that work that God calls us to consider. Let us be that living stone, doing our part faithfully, that we may be truly a living church with a living hope in God, and with a very, very much a living God, living close to our hearts, with us, enabling us to fulfill what He has planned for us to consider. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You that we can be challenged to consider the spiritual house that You are building. And it was a complex plan involving the suffering, the death, the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all things have been foreknown and foreordained by You. Help us to understand the role of the Spirit of God in putting all these things together, empowering us, enabling us to discern, to devote our hearts and our lives together, individually, corporately, as a church, to be that spiritual house that You desire to build among us, within us, in our hearts, individually playing our role. We pray that You will help us to be alive in every sense of the word to You. We pray for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.